May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. In 2014, I found myself sitting with my feet dangling in the water when a profound feeling came over me that the Lord had brought me to this place at this time to hear his calling on my heart to follow him and take up ordained ministry to serve my people. I was ordained back in Aotearoa, New Zealand, to the diaconate in 2017 and priesthood in 2018. I went on to become a chaplain at the last remaining Anglican Māori Girls College, where I served there for 3 years. The other two Anglican Māori Girls Colleges had been closed, one of which I had attended for all my secondary schooling. Then, in late 2021, I was appointed here to WA as the priest and chaplain to the Anglican Māori Mission, based here in Mandurah for the past 3 years, where I also served as the assistant priest at Christchurch. And I find myself now blessed to be standing in front of you all today as your newly appointed part-time priest. Now, that 10 years ago, that water my feet were dangling in was the Sea of Galilee, where I was on a 2-week pilgrimage through the Holy Land with a group from my parish back in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And here we are today at the very same Sea of Galilee with our gospel lesson from Luke. Now, there are two ways we can hear this gospel account appointed for today. This is a 2,000-year-old story about Simon, his brother Andrew, James, and his brother John, who are all fished by trade on this very same water in Palestine. This is history, rather patchy history, about how Jesus began assembling his inner ring of 12 apostles in the northern region of Galilee. Or perhaps maybe this gospel story is autobiographical. Like Simon, Peter, James, and John, we each have been summoned by Jesus. Jesus has caught our attention, and we have followed him. The story gets us in touch with our own story. It's part of the backdrop of why we're here today. Therefore, is this gospel story about them? Or is it about us? About you? The answer is yes. The text says he saw Simon, Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Can you feel the urgency, the immediacy, the conviction of these men? When Jesus called these fishermen, the story could have had a vastly different course. They could have scratched their heads and discussed the pros and cons with each other, their families and neighbours. They could have told Jesus, "Well, let us think about it for a while. Maybe something even better will come along. Maybe a big school of fish will come and we will not be able to leave. Maybe our wives won't let us. Maybe our friends will make fun of us for leaving our jobs, our home and our families to follow a guy who we barely even know." They could have said no thank you. I could have said no thank you. And so could have you. Sadly, as we know, many do. But when Jesus called these fishermen, there was none of the above. They didn't question his call. They didn't think about it. They didn't consult their families. They didn't see if anything better would come along. They followed him. We can only conclude that there was something special, something different about such an encounter with Jesus that one doesn't get with an encounter with anyone else. On the one hand, we're introduced to Simon, Andrew and John and James, who continue to figure into Jesus' life and story. These brothers leave everything to follow Jesus, sort of everything. Simon is married and he doesn't leave his wife. None of the four leave their egos behind. That will become obvious. All of these men are shown to have mixed motives for following Jesus, as each of us will also have varying reasons and motives too. Tradition has it that all four ultimately and willingly accept martyrdom for being followers of Jesus, but we are a long ways from that when we first meet them here in their boats. We also don't know the backstory. Clearly, these fishermen, Peter, Simon, Andrew, James and John, were searching in life for more than fish. They were fishing for meaning of life. They were fishing for a way or a place or a person to whom to belong. They were fishing for hope. They were fishing for forgiveness. We don't know their stories, their families of origin, their education, their health, their habits of heart, their successes and failures in life, whether they had an active religious practice, or whether they were lapsed Jews, or whether they even did religion at all. We don't know. But they had life stories as real, as wonderful, and as complicated as you and I do. It's safe to say Jesus calling the four of them, well, three in this gospel reading, and they're each leaving everything, well, mostly everything, except their own personal baggage, did not happen in a vacuum. There is a backstory to this gospel story, and we just don't know it. However, although we do not have the physical Jesus here to call us, when Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, encounters us today to follow him and let him be the Lord of our lives, our response should be the same. He doesn't want us to think about it, to weigh it, to study the pros and cons, to talk to our family and friends, to wait and see if something better will come along, or the situation in which we find ourselves will improve. When Jesus calls us, there is a sense of urgency. There is a sense that Jesus is erupting into our lives with such a strong force that we have no choice but to decide now, not tomorrow or the next day, but now. Now, while he encounters us, while his presence is with us, while we have him beside us to encourage us in our decision. When Jesus calls us, when he encounters us, he does so with a sense of urgency, with a sense of immediacy, with a sense of conviction, and with a sense of commitment, with a sense that we will turn our entire lives over to him. And then notice what he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." What about you? What are you to be now? What is your vocation? What is your calling to be now? From where or from whom did you learn this? What is your backstory? Your vocation, your calling in life, what you are to be now, will come out of your greatest strength and your greatest need. Jesus, after all, calls us to follow him. He doesn't point us on the road to independence to figure it out. He calls us to follow him, and to follow Jesus will be a melding of our strengths and our needs. We have to have enough clarity and strength to say to Jesus, "Yes, I will follow you." We need enough weakness to remind us that we must keep following him, or we will otherwise get lost. Jesus is the Savior we need. What about you? What are you to be now? What is your vocation? What is your calling to be now? Claim your vocation for now. You must have Jesus' help. Having been fishermen, these men knew what Jesus was talking about. In order to become fishers of people, they would go out, find and bring back others for Jesus, just like they did with fish. They might not have known then what that would look like, but we do now with the scriptural record. They would catch others with the gospel message of repentance and forgiveness that Jesus was proclaiming. They would share with others the good news that Jesus was sharing with them. Not only does Jesus call us to a life of urgency and conviction, but he calls us to a task. He calls us to a job. He calls us to do something with what he has given us. He calls us to share. He calls us to give to others what he has first given to us, his love, his caring, and forgiveness. There is an old Korean legend that goes like this. A devout and generous man died, and before he allowed St. Peter to usher him through the pearly gates, he requested that he first take one small peek at hell. At the gateway of hell, he was astounded to see long tables, food laden and sumptuous. In poured the multitudes, gaunt, ghastly, starved apparently into skeletons. Fastened to the forearm of each were yard-long forks and spoons. They frantically fought to feed themselves in vain. Back in heaven, he beheld tables that were identically laden, but when the heavenly host came in, although to each arm was fastened a yard-long fork and spoon, just like in hell, they sat down and began to feed each other. The new resident knew it was heaven, all right, what with all that sharing. It is a fundamental call for a Christian to be one who shares with another. The fruits of the Spirit by which we will be known includes love, kindness, and generosity. Sharing is a sign that marks the life of a follower of Jesus. Sharing our faith, sharing our resources, sharing a part of ourselves with others, it is what this life is all about as we follow Christ. Jesus calls us to a life of conviction, to a life of urgency, to a life of sharing, to a life of proclaiming good news to others. But you might wonder, who do we share this story with? Who are the ones that we tell about Jesus, and how might we go about telling them? It was to St. Francis that the saying is attributed, preach the gospel. Always, and where necessary, use words. The message we are to take from the evangelism of Jesus, and indeed of those first disciples, is that the gospel is not something to be offered by logic, but rather it is to be exampled by living. The first disciples preached good news to those around them by having the courage of their convictions and stepping away from secure lives to follow the one who stirred their spirits within them. We share the gospel in the words and actions we perform, which lets others know they are loved and valued, and those things which display the fruits of the Spirit by which we will be known. There is no action or encounter offered in love which is too small or insignificant to count in the eyes of God. Jesus calls us to love the ones in the world that nobody else will love. Jesus calls us to reach out to the lonely, to the hungry, to the sick, to the ones in prison, to the disabled, to the forsaken, to the needy, to all those people who need to hear that someone indeed does love them. And that someone is Jesus Christ. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the good news that the kingdom of God was at hand. That message of good news shook men and women out of their ordinary lives and led them to do extraordinary things. Jesus asks us all to go out into the world with that very same message, the message of the good news of God, and that God's kingdom is now. It is at hand. Jesus calls us to a life of conviction, to a life of urgency, to a life of reaching out with his message of love and forgiveness to all the people we encounter. May we each have the confidence of those first disciples to trust in Jesus as we answer our call. In the canon of Holy Scripture, we have four Gospels, four versions of encounter with Jesus. The gospel according to Matthew, then there's the gospel according to Mark and to Luke and to John. There was, of course, also the gospel according to the Samaritan woman and to any number of lepers. The gospel according to Mary Magdalene, according to Peter, according to merchants and shepherds, according to Elizabeth and Simeon, and so many others. So many unwritten gospels about personal encounters with Jesus. The version of the gospel which probably has greatest authority for you is the gospel according to you. What has been revealed to you? What has proven inviting and necessary for you? What is essence of Jesus' work and words embodied within you? That is so important for you to hear, remember, and claim. It's your vocation. It's why you are still alive. You and I are still alive today. There is an ancient Hasidic wisdom about a rabbi, Zusai. When he was an old man, he said, "In the coming world, they will not ask me, 'Why were you not Moses?' Rather, they will ask me, 'Why were you not Zusa?'" Vocation is about accepting our true self, and it is like none other. Our vocation is our calling. You have the truth within you. Listen, listen, listen. Just as I did on the shores of the Sea of Galilee 10 years ago. What do you hear? "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.